south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, still on location far, far away. Let's dig into the email grab bag. This one's from listener Carly. It says, hey, Johnny, longtime listener, expat Carl here. Living in and around Ecuador for the past 5 years, and about to get the hell out of Dodge, Dodge being Ecuador. Problem is that I sort of blew my retirement wad early on in a hotel business here in Ecuador and can't easily cash out now. There have been some bad things going down here, you probably have noticed, and the gringo expats are getting kind of antsy, especially about the big increase in crime and gangs. I guess I was kind of stupid to myself. I had a chance to sell out a year or two ago, and I didn't. I thought things were going to be cyclic, but no, it's getting worse. I still like Ecuador a lot, but it's getting more dangerous all the time. However, if you have money, you can stay in the designated gringo areas and be just fine. But that's true with anywhere. If you have money, you're insulated. But that's not what I wanted to talk about. I want to talk about what I've noticed lately, that people, tourists meaning Americans and Europeans, are just getting stupider and stupider. You were talking in a previous show about unsanitary tattoo and barber shops and beauty salons. Man, you hit that one on the head. They're everywhere here in Ecuador, too. When they say cheap and dirty, man, they mean cheap and dirty. Can you imagine how many Americans and Europeans have subclinical hepatitis C or HIV from tattoo parlors that have never been inspected, checked, or tested? Low-budget and backpacking gringos love them because they're so damn cheap. I'm in Cuenca, and there's one tattoo parlor I walk by practically every day. There's always some green or blue-haired guy or girl, sometimes you can't tell, or a sexually fluid inked idiot getting even more ink done, on the cheap, of course. I don't know why it's so popular. It looks grungy inside. Must be the price. I'll tell you one thing, when you walk inside, try to focus your eyes because it's pretty dark in there. You have to have a lot of trust in the guy with the needle. Though he pretty much looks like he crawled out of someone's basement cubbyhole too. Some tattoos can and do come back to haunt you. And it's not just that they get faded and uglier with age either. One other thing people don't talk about much is that Cuenca, Ecuador anyway, seems to be overloaded with American hippie backpackers. The word amongst the backpackers has gotten out that it's cheap food and cheap rent. It's a fact of life. Where things are cheap, you find scads of backpackers. That goes for tattoo parlors, Chinese restaurants, ultra-cheap, scruffy barber shops, and beauty salons, too. By the way, those barber places do offer cheap shaves with single-edge razors. Very easy to get nicked and have a mini blood transfer in the process. Do you think they change blades after every person? No way. Do they disinfect those things properly? No way. Do they clean up afterwards properly? Or do they just haphazardly cross-contaminate everything by juggling all their items in use? The customers certainly don't know any better. They just know they got a cheap haircut or a shave, whatever. But hey, a shave and a haircut, $5? Hell, it's $25 in Jersey. And you just paid $5? It's something to brag to the folks back home about on that next WhatsApp call. Who's the idiot now? Actually, I've seen it as cheap as $3. Yep, people, and I mean mostly gringo and European backpackers, just keep getting stupider and stupider. Oh, and by the way, I have a little hotel business in Cuenca, Ecuador. Since you can get a room at my place for $20 to $25 a night, I get sort of the low-budget crowd here often, too. I've noticed in the past couple of years more and more genderbender types checking in, too. And if the hands and feet seem way too big and there's a little scar where the Adam's apple should be, well, you still have to call them ladies. Hey, you know, a customer's a customer, you treat them all the same. Though tattooed clients with green and blue hair and piercings were not the kind of trade I was expecting when I first opened the place. But you see, it's a fact of life. With a $20 to $25 a night room rate, you sort of get that kind of traffic. Funny how the $100 a night places get a more clean-cut crowd. A lot less pilferage, too. I know I'm generalizing here, but take it from a guy in the hotel trade. That's the way it is. Then he goes on to say, I'm not one to say what's normal and what isn't these days, but it seems the more you charge for your rack rate, the more so-called, quote, normal the clients are. Meanwhile, if you want eccentric, you want crazy, you want 3 in the morning partiers howling at the moon, get yourself a mom-and-pop hotel and charge $20 to $25 a night. Oh, and Johnny, did I mention people just keep getting stupider and stupider? Signed, longtime listener expat Carl. For the time being, in Cuenca, Ecuador. All right, thanks for that, Carl, and thanks for reminding me never to get into the hotel business. Oh, and Carl, you seem to be reinforcing what I've been saying for a long, long time, for years now on this show. Ever since International Living put Cuenca, Ecuador on the map as the number one expat retirement tourist destination, that was the signal to scratch it off my list. Every time they pick a hot spot, whether it's Cancun, Costa Rica, or Belize, they get overrun by gringos and tarnished in a hurry. But you knew that already, right? Oh, and about Carl picking up on that green and blue-haired thing that's going around. I don't know about you guys up in the States, Canada, and Europe, but I'm starting to see a lot of blue and green-haired older women, like in their 60s, even 70s. Jeez, I'd hate to see my grandma looking like that. Sometimes 2 or 3 different colors on the same head. I'm mentioning it because I haven't seen it at all on older men, only women. What's up with that? So much for equality, huh? Though, it's true, older men don't have a lot of hair to color. But still, it just seems kind of weird. Oh, and the other thing is, a lot of hippies are aging out. Have you noticed that? It's not a good look. It wasn't a good look when they were young, but as they age out, they're not looking healthy at all. I don't know. In my day, bringing a green or blue-haired girl home wouldn't sit very well with mama. But a middle-aged or even older lady sporting that look? I don't know. And with a nose ring and a tongue stud, mama would certainly change her will. Just saying. At least that's what I used to think. But nowadays, people mom's age have green and blue hair. Though not much of it. It's pretty thinned out. But still. Anyway, enough said about that. All right, digging through this email pile comes an email from Expat X. I guess he doesn't want us to know who he is. I'm totally all right with that. He says, Dear Johnny, the world seems to be changing fast, maybe way too fast for me. People are all about this new weight loss drug called Ozempic. People are coming up with all kinds of ways to rejuvenate themselves, to look younger. Of course, the stuff that really works ain't cheap. And some of those techniques look pretty painful to boot. As for me, I reduced my biological age by 10 years just by moving to El Salvador. Didn't need a drug. Just getting the hell out of Dodge did it for me. Wasn't even my intent, but that's what happened. Excellent secondary effect, though, I must say. Anyway, then, Mr. Expat X says, What made me get out of Dodge in the first place, however, was getting dragged through a divorce court in Ohio. It added 20 years to my life, and I felt like an old man at 50. I can only imagine what it's doing to Kevin Costner, being dragged through divorce court, social media court, and the imbecilic court of TikTok all at the same time. He'll be dead soon, I predict. But as for me, moving to El Salvador was the best thing I ever did. Funny thing, too, the Latinos there always underestimate my age by a hell of a lot. Though I still can't figure if Latinos are just naive or just bad judges of age. Or maybe they're just being kind. But whenever the subject of age comes up, they always peg me to be 35 or 40. And they don't say it with a smirk. They don't seem to be lying about it. They're sincere. They think I'm 35 or 40. But in the morning when I get up and look myself in the mirror, I'm 50 all day long and then some. I don't know, Johnny. Maybe they're just the most forgiving people in the world when it comes to age and physical defects. I don't know, Johnny, but another thing I've discovered that when it comes to physical defects like big or broken noses, wrinkles, pot bellies, rotator cuff, and knee replacement scars, no single Latina I've ever met minds any of that stuff. Even that potbelly thing. You don't have to worry about sucking your gut in. Not down here. I'm serious. I'm a little self-conscious about mine. And have joked about it a few times to various ladies. And they just laugh and say it's no big deal. It doesn't matter. They honestly don't seem to care either way. Though I've often thought maybe there's a double standard. It's allowed for gringos and expats. but not for local Latino men, because I've seen many Latino guys who go to the gym every day with perfect bodies, all cut up. Of course, there's a lot of beached whales too, but they don't seem to be doing too well with the ladies. So, who knows? Funny thing though, I belong to a gym. I've seen lots of Latino gym rats with perfectly cut bodies, along with a belly they just can't get rid of. Seems everything else responds to the exercise, but the belly. Sort of looks strange. Cut up arms, legs, and chest muscles, yet with a pot belly hanging out. I don't get it. Can you explain that one to me, Johnny? How is it possible to work your ass off at the gym, get all cut up everywhere, except your stomach? Maybe it's why that new weight loss drug Ozempic is so popular. All right, me Johnny here, Expat X, cutting in. Yeah, those gym rat cut-up guys with ubiquitous bellies are everywhere. My take on it is that it's because they drink so much beer. Yeah, I heard about that weight loss drug, Ozempic. It's all over the internet, right? Well, I don't know anyone down here who uses it, because they can't get it. Well, I take that back. They can get it as a diabetic drug, right? That's what it started out as. So the pharmacies do have it, but no one's using it for that secondary off-label purpose. Not yet. I've not met anyone who's even talking about it. Yep, it's that lag time thing again, and thank God for it this time, huh? From what I've read, it seems to have some nasty secondary effects, so hopefully it won't catch on down here, but it probably will, like everything else that comes out of the first world. We'll see. Oh, and another thing. Expat X talks about the fact that Latinas don't care if a guy's got a pot belly and is not in great shape, has wrinkles and a busted, crooked nose, whatever. Hip or knee replacement scar. Seems anything goes. Yeah, you know, I've noticed that too. They are extremely forgiving about personal and physical defects. That's why it's so common they end up with unfaithful jerks who cheat regularly on them. I'm talking about the local Latin guy dating pool that they're stuck with. And after all that, they get caught, and the ladies take them back. Talk about being extremely forgiving, huh? Now, if the Latin ladies were just a little more discriminating, a little more picky, the Latino guys would be forced to up their game and clean up their acts. But there's no sign of that happening, not in this lifetime. By the way, Expat X was talking about that Kevin Costner thing that's been all over the news, right? It's supposed to be the divorce of the century. You know, one thing Kevin Costner's got going for him, and he sticks to acting. He's got no political platform he's bloviating about like that idiot Robert De Niro or Sean Penn. Actors with political platforms make me sick. They should just stick to speaking words that other, smarter people have written for them. Are you with me on that? Good. All right, one more email. This one from Denny. He says, Johnny, speaking of what is poor or the definition of poor, you were talking about that a while back. About the difference in perspective when you see what poor and happy is in the third world, like Latin America, versus poor and happy in the U.S. I've yet to see it myself. In the U.S., that is. Poor and happy. Not with adults, anyway. With kids, maybe, but not adults. Though I continuously see it when I visit Latin America. Adults, kids, mamas, papas, grandmas, great-grandpas. Poor and happy seems to be the norm in Latin America. But somehow, poor and happy don't go together in the States. Too much envy in the USA, I think. Like you pointed out, Johnny, the poor in the USA don't even know how well they have it. They'd sure change their tune if they had to live a week with a poor family in Latin America. But we know that's never going to happen. By the way, Johnny, I was one of those kids whose parents didn't have enough dough to give me an allowance. He says, some of my friends would get $5, even $10 a week, and I was jealous. So I solved that problem and got a paper route at 10. I lied about my age. You're supposed to be 12. Sometimes a well-placed little white lie will get you a leg up. I've been working ever since. I'm now in my 50s, he says, and I remember feeling sort of poor all the way into my late 20s. I first started having little moments of feeling rich when I hit around 30. That is, if feeling happy and content could be called feeling rich. It's because I never had any savings until I hit about 30. I started having extra spending cash around then. When I hit 30, I felt sort of rich for a minute when I'd pay my bills with cash at the end of the month. I felt rich for a minute when I had half a tank, not even a full tank of gas, or some spare rolls of toilet paper in the cupboard. That made me feel sort of rich, for a minute anyway. I felt a little bit rich when I could eat meat every day if I wanted to. No, not cold cuts or hot dogs or deli meat. Real nice cuts of meat, like sirloin steak. However, if you grow up kind of poor and your parents never gave you an allowance because they couldn't afford to, you have a bit of a different attitude about life as you get older. Even as I aged into my 30s and I got to the point where I could buy what I wanted, anything I wanted to eat, for example, I still sometimes felt guilty about it. Even in my 50s now, I feel the remnants of being poor. I look in my refrigerator. If it's full, I feel happy, sort of rich for a minute. When it's a little less full, I get a bit anxious. And I don't know where that feeling's coming from, because I can always afford to fill it again. But that weird, uneasy feeling, no matter how fleeting it is, has to have something to do with the way I was brought up. On hot dogs, bologna, and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. It's sort of funny, too, when I'm on an expensive cruise, let's say. There's always some little rich kids on board with their parents. And there's this massive, beautiful, expansive buffet. The parents are eating chicken cordon bleu, filet mignon, and lobster. And their kids are eating hot dogs, hamburgers, and mac and cheese by choice. When I was a kid, you ate that stuff because that's all you had in the house. That and a jar of mayonnaise. And it wasn't even real mayonnaise. Mom bought Miracle Whip because it was cheaper. All right, me, Johnny here. Yeah, he's right about that. We had Miracle Whip in the house, too. In fact, I remember later as a teenager, I was at my girlfriend's house whose parents had money. And they had real mayonnaise. And I tried it and didn't like it because it didn't taste like Miracle Whip. Shows you how low a rung I was on the social ladder, huh? Yep, as a kid, in my house, if we were out of Miracle Whip, you could always find margarine, mac and cheese, Wonder Bread, Kool-Aid, or Tang somewhere in the cupboard. And for a real treat, if we were lucky, Salerno butter cookies. However, if you read the label, you'd find they had no real butter at all. Figures, huh? And really, what the hell was so wonderful about Wonder Bread? By the way, since we had a few emails there from expats living in Ecuador, the news of the hour is that 6 Colombians were arrested in the slaying of presidential candidate Fernando Villavicencio. So here's a little dope on what's going on there. Turns out they killed that guy, a presidential candidate, who was kind of second or third, they say, if there was an election today. Though he was moving on up and may have won the election. Anyway, he was a presidential candidate whose life's work was to fight crime and corruption. Anyway, a bunch of Colombian hitmen bumped him off on Thursday in broad daylight, less than 2 weeks before a special presidential election was to be held. Turns out all along, the candidate, Villavicencio, was threatened by affiliates of Mexico's Sinaloa cartel gang. So you gotta wonder why Mexican Sinaloa gang members came down to Ecuador in South America to bump the guy off, 1,000 miles away. Well, it's because everyone in Ecuador knows that it's now turned into an international drug trafficker's dream. It's got 400 miles of unmonitored Pacific coast, and with Ecuador having the geographical misfortune of being sandwiched between Colombia and Peru, the two largest cocaine producers in the world, as a result, the gang activity and murder rate has doubled since 2021. And just last month, the mayor of the port city of Manta was shot to death, with President Lasso declaring a state of emergency for the country. And now, with the murdering of this presidential candidate, he's declared a 60-day state of emergency, you know, martial law. By the way, before he was a candidate, he was a journalist. The one most responsible for getting ex-President Correa investigated, leading to criminal proceedings against him and an 8-year prison sentence on corruption charges. So the candidate that got bumped off had powerful enemies. The former President Correa fled and moved to Belgium in 2017, where his wife's from. He got asylum there and was sentenced in absentia in April 2020 to 8 years. Meanwhile, he's living like a king in Europe with a Belgian passport on the millions he stole. Yep, that's par for the course here in Latin America. What happens to high-end political criminals? They steal millions, and when their political terms are up, they leave the country with their millions. They get tried in court in absentia because they're no longer there. They take the money and run and become fugitives before they're ever brought up on charges. The only way they're ever going to go to jail in their home country is if they show up there. Fat chance, huh? If you had millions stashed in another country, would you come back to your home country to do jail time? That almost never happens, unless some years down the line, new parties get in and some of your old political cronies get one of the courts to nullify your sentence. That happens once in a while. Then you could come back and run for office again. That's been done before, and ex-President Correa of Ecuador is trying to get those wheels turning right now as he's sitting on his millions in Belgium. He's so power-hungry, he wants to be president again. Can you believe that? Oh, and by the way, the easiest way to come back to your country and grab power again is to buy a few Supreme Court judges. In Latin America, you could buy them off cheap. $5, $10, $20 grand will do it. There have been quite a few cases like that, but it takes some years to pull it off. Usually after one or two more presidents have served and the public has forgotten crimes of the previous thieving political shitbag. Meanwhile, in this week's horror-filled news out of Mexico, we won't talk about murders now, we'll talk about how Mexico, under U.S. pressure, shuttered 23 pharmacies located in their most famous Caribbean resort cities, Cancun, Tulum, and Playa del Carmen. Because those drugstores were selling pills labeled as pain pills, oxycodone, Percocet, and Adderall, but instead were laced with fentanyl. Turns out, in March of 2023, the U.S. State Department issued a travel warning about the sales of fentanyl-laced pills in Mexican pharmacies, and that the practice in Mexico appears to be widespread. In fact, the U.S. Navy Department, what are they doing there, said Tuesday they inspected 55 drugstores in Cancun, Tulum, and Playa del Carmen, and 23 out of those 55 had pills laced with fentanyl and heroin, all of them sold over the counter without a prescription. They said the pharmacies also offered these pills mostly to tourists, and that the drugstores advertised such pills and offered home and hotel delivery services. Meanwhile, in February 2023, the University of California, Los Angeles, announced that researchers there had found 68% of 40 Mexican pharmacies they visited in four northern Mexican cities near the U.S. border sold oxycodone, Xanax, Adderall, and other drugs, also without a prescription, and 27% of them had been laced with fentanyl and heroin. Again, those pills were sold mainly to U.S. tourists and passed off as controlled substances in the U.S. but available without a prescription in Mexico. By the way, on the U.S. State Department website, there's a travel warning that says counterfeit pills in Mexico sold at pharmacies supposedly legitimately may contain deadly doses of fentanyl, which is really bullshit, because any pill with any drug in it can be a deadly or toxic dose if you take enough of it. Turns out pharmacists and doctors are saying that as long as the pills, whatever they are, taken as directed, they will not contain deadly doses, but therapeutic doses. Like with any medicine, if you take too much, there could and would be toxic effects. The fact is, people who die of fentanyl overdose take way more than the prescribed dose, and or snort or inject it, which is absolutely contraindicated. It's true. Those pills found in Mexico without a prescription may contain deadly doses of fentanyl. However, the pharmacies that sell those things have the recommended doses on the label. Come on, do you really expect us to believe, like the U.S. State Department website says, that Mexican pharmacies stock that stuff because they want to kill people? Yeah, right, they want stupid tourists to walk in, buy the stuff, and die. That would be a pretty stupid marketing plan, wouldn't it? Are you getting this? Are you seeing what's going on here? Of course. I'd say it's pretty stupid, in fact, very dumb, to go into a Mexican pharmacy and ask for something like oxycodone, which we all know is very strong and very addictive too. Whether it contains fentanyl or not is another thing. The point is, what would you be doing going into a Mexican pharmacy and asking for oxycodone in the first place? Most probably because your doc or doctors up in the States overprescribed and got you addicted to the stuff. So if you buy that stuff, you're playing with dynamite anyway. By the way, just a little thing you probably did not know about fentanyl. It's used all the time in first world hospitals and clinics up by where you live as a painkiller. It's been around for years. Of course, it's extremely strong and addictive, just like heroin and opioids. Only, why do you think it was invented in the first place? Because it's effective and cheap, has the same effect as opioids, and you don't have to import the poppies or get the Afghan terrorists or Mexican cartels involved. You know, the poppy growers. The fact is, you'll find fentanyl used all the time. It's prescribed legally. In fact, if you've had any surgery at all, you may have had a PCA pump, which has fentanyl in it. And did you know, if you go in for certain plastic surgeries, like liposuction, BBLs and all that, they send you home with an IV in your arm for an entire week, attached to a little electronic device called a PCA pump. It's a plastic ball filled with liquid drugs about the size of a cue ball. You carry that with you for about a week. Has a little battery in it and meters out a mix of drugs, anti-inflammatories, antibiotics, analgesics, and antispasmodics. And one of those analgesics is, you guessed it, fentanyl. It's totally legit, prescribed by doctors and surgeons everywhere. And after about a week's time, all the drugs in that little pump are gone. You go back to your doc, they remove the IV, he disconnects the pump, you're all done with the treatment, and they toss it. The fact is that little pump is a great little invention because now you don't have to take all those pills orally. You know, right after a surgery, you could be taking 10 or 20 pills a day. For some people, awful hard on the stomach. So instead, they came up with that little PCA pump. It's a pretty shocking thing to know when you first see that thing and look at the ingredients in it, that it contains fentanyl, especially when the news media talks about how many tens of thousands of people are addicted to it or have been killed by it. Anyway, just thought you'd like to know the details, that they actually use it, and that it's used very commonly after any big surgery. All right, moving on. Just found 145 million more reasons why it's definitely time to get the hell out of that. Did you know that the U.S. State Department just gave law enforcement intelligence agencies unrestricted access to all your passport data? Yep, that's right. U.S. law enforcement agencies, all of them, have access to more than 145 million Americans' passport application information. They will now share it without legal process or any apparent oversight, according to documents posted on the Department of Homeland Security website. The data collected and shared on U.S. citizens include names, addresses, birth dates, biometric data like fingerprints, facial imaging, email addresses, phone numbers, gender, race, social security, and more than 50 other pieces of personal data. This access to millions of Americans' records goes far beyond what a reasonable person would expect or tolerate. But it's too late now. They've got it, they'll use it, there'll be leaks, there'll be hacks, they'll sell it, and there's nothing you can do about it except get the hell out of Dodge while you still can.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.